Morning.
Morning. Morning.
I was asked to participate in this Wayfaring series this summer because of my career as an international development practitioner. From the time I was in high school, I felt a calling to work with marginalized people in the world, and I just want to share a bit of my journey with you this morning, acknowledging I don't have all the answers, but I'm working hard to learn. I was raised in a white, privileged, religious household that encouraged me to step out of my comfort zone and look for Jesus. At the time, this meant participating on mission trips. And through these mission trips, I was made aware of how other people than my white, privileged, suburban life live. In 2007, I was granted the opportunity to travel to Kenya, a country in East Africa with passport camps. When I joined the program, to be honest, I was more excited about traveling with my other teenage friends to a new place than experiencing the team building and cultural awareness programs, programs of the trip. I also had not anticipated the magnitude of poverty that I would witness while participating on this trip as a 16-year-old. Little did I know that my 3 weeks in Kenya would shape my international affairs, professional, and academic goals, and what I believe God's calling is for my life. The program was set up so that 50 American teenagers would meet and work together with 50 Kenyan teenagers. We played, we laughed, and we cried together. I learned that we really are more alike than we are different, even though we live a continent and an ocean away from each other. I made some friends on that trip that I still communicate with today, 10 years later. During one of our trip excursions in the Great Rift Valley, we visited a child development center where we distributed bags of school supplies and at the end of the day. The supplies were significant to the people in the town because in Kenya, if a child has school supplies, she can attend school. Children with supplies not only have the opportunity to receive an education, but they also have the opportunity for a more promising future. When word spread around the village about our donations, other children ran out of their homes in hope of receiving supplies as well. After all the bags had been distributed, most of the children who did not receive anything walked back to their homes, with the exception of one little boy. He stood on the other side of the fence, staring at me with a face filled with disappointment and sadness. At that moment, I felt compelled to go back home and serve the needs of the marginalized in my community and abroad. With a new sense of purpose, I finished high school and decided to study political science and African studies at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Go Heels. I wanted to understand the causes of poverty, and later on in my studies, the relationship between power, inequality, and poverty. Shortly after coming to college and being challenged by my African professors, I learned the good intentions are not enough to combat widespread poverty. Through my classes and subsequent service trips to Haiti, Belize, Malawi, and Kenya, I again learned that addressing issues related to poverty requires thoughtful courses of action that focus on empowering communities rather than providing handouts. In fact, when I returned to Kenya as a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship intern in college, I noticed that development projects that engaged communities in establishing needs and priorities were far more successful in achieving their objectives than those that distributed aid without building partnerships in the community. And this perspective of international development with a focus on engagement with communities and letting them lead the process has grown stronger as I completed grad school and have worked for a nonprofit and now the federal government. When Erica and I were discussing the scripture passage for the week, she told me that Ruth means friendship in Hebrew. I think this is so important for my work in international development. Building relationships that create understanding, trust, and friendship are crucial for any type of beneficial development to occur. When these deep relationships are formed, we are allowed to experience something called kutana. Kutana is a Kiswahili word that means to fully encounter another person or community. There's really no English translation for it. People who kutana have let their guards down, gotten over themselves, and have worked to understand where the other person is coming from. In my work, my first goal is to experience kutana. then we can focus on the objective, which for my current job means matching U.S. engineers with African energy businesses to expand electricity on the continent. As an international development practitioner, I would be remiss not to throw in some knowledge about serving others from thought leaders in my field. One of my icons in development is Paulo Freire. Paulo Freire was a Brazilian philosopher and teacher who wrote one of the most read pieces on working with people in marginalized aspects of society, called Pedagogy of the Oppressed. In his work, he says, "The more radical the person is, the more fully he or she enters into reality so that knowing it better, he or she can transform it. This individual is not afraid to confront, to listen, to see the world unveiled. This person is not afraid to meet the people or enter into dialogue with them. This person does not consider himself or herself the proprietor of history or of all people, or the liberator of the oppressed. But he or she does commit himself or herself within history to fight at their side." I have to remind myself that God's calling for me to minister in the margins through international development isn't about feeling good about myself or celebrating my altruism. I truly feel it is about joining in solidarity with people forced into the margins. In Martin Luther King's famous speech to sanitation workers in Memphis, a speech he delivered one day before his assassination, he retells the story of the Good Samaritan. I'm sure many of you have heard it. It's very powerful. He goes through each person who passes the man lying on the ground. First, the robbers who left him there. Then he talks about the priest and then a Levite. When they pass by the man lying on the ground, Martin Luther King pictures the priest and the Levite saying to themselves, "If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?" But instead of asking that question, Martin Luther King says the Samaritan walks by and asks, "If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?" Friends, if we are committed to being Christ followers, we need to ask ourselves, if we do not stop and stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the world, what will happen to them? Thanks.